Well, good morning, boys and girls.
Good morning.
Nice to see you all. And it's always a pleasure to join with you in the study of God's Word in the morning assembly. We're looking at Jude, as we have been doing now for some little time. I'm sure you have it open before you. We're going to read one verse, the verse that we look at today. It's the verse 4. We've covered the first three verses and considered what they teach us. Now we come to verse 4. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. We come in this verse to consider why we have to stand up for Jesus. We sang that lovely wee hymn, Dare to Be a Daniel. And Daniel stood up, along with his three Hebrew friends, against the wrong that others tried to have them commit. But he stood up and said no. And that has ever been the spirit and the mind of the true child of God. We don't mind being out of step with the world, going in a different direction than the world. And if you're a Christian, that will be your natural instinct. I'm not going with the world. I'm going to obey God and keep Him company. And so here in this verse, having called on the people to whom he's writing to contend earnestly for the faith. That's a very warlike phrase, contend earnestly. That's what David did when he went out against Goliath. He didn't enter into a conversation with him and ask him how he was or anything like that, but he ran at him. That showed his determination and his bravery and his confidence that God would give him the victory. And he took his sling and the stone and he fired it, not at his ankle or his knee, but where it would hurt most. Because he was there to fight to the death, he was going to earnestly contend. And the stone he fired sunk into his head, the head of Goliath. That was the end of him. Especially so when David then took his sword and cut off his head. That was the end of Goliath indeed. So we're looking at this matter, and as is always the case, boys and girls, with the Word of God, there's logic and reason behind what God asked us to do. You know, people talk about blind faith. That's rubbish. The Christian is not walking blindly. The Christian has had his eyes opened and knows where he is going. And we have an instance of the explanation God gives us for the actions that we should take. The very first word of verse 4 is what? For. Now, if I'm in the midst of trying to explain something, I usually will start off with the word for. I'm wearing a coat today for. It says it's going to rain. It's 3:30 and I'm very happy for. Schooled over for the day, I'm going home. So an explanation usually starts off with the word for. And that's what we have here. An explanation. For there are certain men crept in unawares. You've got to fight them. Who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men. You've got to fight these men. For they are turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why I'm calling you, Jude said, to earnestly contend for the faith. Because of this invasion that's taking place. No, I should say because of this invasion which has taken place. For there are certain men crept in. They're in. Boys and girls, it has ever been the case that the people of God have been infiltrated by traitors, by the enemy. I'm sure you have done in your history studies of World War II in particular. And if you have, you will know that the Allies, especially the British forces, because they were closest to Germany and to Europe, they sent men secretly, guys and women, into enemy territory to organized resistance. Many of them paid dearly for their bravery and were killed ruthlessly by Nazi Germany. So It is not an uncommon practice in war for one nation to send men and women secretly into the territory of the other in order to fight them. And that's a tactic that the devil has been employing almost since the dawn of time. Well, let's get to this verse. Time's passing. First of all, I want you to notice the character of these attackers. We have described to us what they're like. They are ungodly men. That vividly describes them. Ungodly, if I might stretch that word out to give you its meaning, it's ungodlike men. That's what they were. And if you had eyes to see and a heart that understood these things, you could look at these men and say, they are not like God. They haven't any resemblance to God, though they're pretending to be Christians, pretending to be members of the flock of God. Yet I can see they're not like God. They are ungodly men. You know, if you're saved today, there is about you a likeness to God. There will be that about you which will resemble the Lord. Now, I have done a wee bit of travelling in my day, and many's a time when away far from home, maybe in an airport, at an airline counter where I was checking in, I have met those that in listening to them just in that brief encounter, or looking at them as they dealt with my ticket and passport, I have said, I think that's a Christian. And after a little while, I have raised the matter, and yes, they were Christians. I could just detect it. They bore resemblance. I was in a shop in Irvinstown a little while ago, and there was a young lady was serving me, and I said to her, did your mommy work in this shop? And she said, oh, no, no, that was my aunt. And the likeness between the aunt and the niece was most remarkable. When I saw the young lassie, I saw immediately the likeness to this other lady who used to work in the shop. Well, if you're a Christian, your behaviour, your whole demeanour should show forth a likeness to Christ. But these men, they're ungodly men. In 1 John chapter 3, in the verse 2, we read these words, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. When the Lord Jesus Christ returns, and all the saints of God are glorified, they will take on a most remarkable likeness, a most glorious likeness to the Lord Jesus. But that likeness which they will have fully then was already to be seen in them, even from the moment they were saved. The day I got saved, a lot of things I stopped doing because they weren't the ways of God. There were a lot of things I started doing, for they were the ways of God. And I say to you then, we have the character of those who are here attacking the truth of God and infiltrating the church in order to destroy it. They're ungodly men. Then notice the attack by these men on the gospel was a most sneaky attack. See what it says? There are certain men crept in unawares. They came in on tiptoe, so as not to be noticed, so as not to give themselves away. Oh, this is the nature of how the devil attacks the cause of God. It was not an open, frontal attack. Like David, when David attacked Goliath, he did it from the front. Everybody saw him do it. He wasn't sneaking up behind Goliath. No, he was bold and open because what he was doing was right. And therefore, he wasn't ashamed to do it. But it is to be noticed these boys sneak in because they knew what they're doing is wrong. And they know that Christians generally are told by the Lord to be on the watch for wolves who come in sheep's clothing. Oh, I tell you, this was a very sneaky attack. You know, boys and girls, the devil's very clever. What do you know about chameleons? You know they can change, don't you? Change their colour, even change their skin from smooth to lumpy. An octopus can do the same. Most remarkable when they're trying to escape from a big fish that would eat lumps out of them. They can go and hide amongst a rock and change and just look like the rock. That's what the devil can do. Listen to what Paul the Apostle said concerning the devil's agents and the devil himself. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel. It's not a strange thing that the servants of the devil should be able to do this. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their work. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 11, the verses 13 to 15. The devil can transform himself. I seem to be aware of children's books or children's cartoons that feature transformers, machines that can transform themselves. Long before whoever came up with that notion, the devil was doing it. And the transformation that the devil undertakes is most remarkable in that he can transform himself into an angel of light. He's an angel of darkness. He's the most wicked being in all of the universe. There's no one more wicked than the devil. And yet he can disguise himself to look like an angel of light, like the angels that announced the birth of Christ. That's how clever the devil is. And we are told that he has sent his agents to infiltrate the church by disguising themselves, by sneaking in unawares. In the kingdom of God, God has instituted a number of duties to be performed by his servants, and one of them is to be a watchman up on a tower watching for the attack of the devil. And he doesn't use binoculars, but he uses the Bible. He holds the Bible up and he looks at the Bible and he looks and watches to see if there's any like those described in the Bible approaching. That's why a minister has to study the Word of God. During the Troubles, which aren't completely over, but during the heyday of the Troubles, back in the 70s and 80s, every policeman carried a bundle of photographs, and the photographs revolved the villains active in terrorism and murder. And he would constantly look at these photographs, make himself familiar with the faces of these men, so that if he run into them at a road check or whatever, he would know them. Well, I have to read the Bible and study the photographs that are there of wicked men, so that when I encounter them, I would know them and warn people of the presence of such wicked being. Now, you have seen nature videos, I'm sure, that features the lion stalking its prey. And it always, if it's possible, it picks undergrowth and grasses that are the same colour as its fur. And it gets down. And I always notice when I've watched this how its shoulder blades are sticking way up because it's sunk down that much sneaking along. And if one of the animals that has got its eye upon happens to lift up its head to look around, the lion freezes. Sometimes with one paw up in the air, not a move. He's sneaking in. Well, the devil's the same. Peter tells us that the devil goes about as a lion, seeking whom he may devour. So boys and girls, what Jude is doing is warning of those who have crept in unawares in order to attack the cause of God. The third thing I want to say is that this attack by the devil is directed at the very heart of the gospel. The very heart of the gospel. In other words, the devil doesn't attack in order just to wound. The devil gets in among God's people not just to kick them in their shins. Oh no. Look at what it says. There are certain men crept in unawares who are before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't come in just to sow a few seeds of doubt. They came in to take the gospel and tear it up, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. The word lasciviousness is a reference to the most wicked of all sin. And that's what they want to turn the gospel into. From promoting holiness They want to change the message so that it's promoting the worst of sins. That's what the devil wants to do. The word replacing, which is the meaning of turning, is what they want to do. They want to replace the gospel of holiness and truth with the lies of hell. That's why they must be opposed. That's why we can't hold back when we observe the activities of evil men within the ranks of the people of God. We can't just reach out and say, excuse me, please stop. No! We come at them with a sword of God's word. And like Samuel when he tackled Agag, it says he hacked him to pieces. He didn't just prick him with the point of the sword, he hacked him to pieces. Determined to destroy this enemy that Saul, the poor foolish king, had not carried out God's sentence against. But Samuel the prophet carried it out. He hacked him to pieces. And boys and girls, when we're tackling heresy and lies and falsehood among the ranks of God's people, promoted by those who are the devil's agents, we're not to be overly polite and apologetic, but we're to wade into them, face them up with the truth of God. Do you understand that? Oh, people who don't like that notion. Oh, I think you should have been more kind. I think you should have been more Christian. I think you should have spoken nicely to him. That's not what the Bible teaches us, boys and girls. You're called to be soldiers. Do you think if you join the army, they'll put a helmet on you and a bulletproof vest and give you a big gun and then say, now when you see the enemy, be nice to them. Talk to them nicely now. Do you think that's what they'll teach you? No! They teach a soldier to fight because the enemy's intent on destroying the soldier and his nation and his people. And it's the same when it comes to defending the gospel. Oh, I tell you, they're out to hit the very heart of the gospel. They're out to turn the grace of God into lasciviousness and deny the only Lord God. Try and tell people, God's not God. They're going to try and throw God off his throne. And you can't be casual about opposing such. You've got to hit them with all you have. This is real warfare. Final thing I want you to notice is their chief target was the Lord Jesus. Look at it. Certain men are crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. God knows all about them. That's something we should notice, boys and girls. They were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Now that's a mystery that we can't fully comprehend, but we are to learn from these words that God knew all about their plan from all eternity. Turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the chief target. These men didn't creep in to say, oh, your minister's not a good preacher. He's not a nice man. He's not a godly man. No, that's not what they crept into the church to do. They crept into the church to say, your Jesus Christ is wrong. He's a falsehood. We deny him, and you're to deny him. Listen to us as we tell you to deny the Lord Jesus Christ. Refuse what he says to you. Disobey his commands. Tell me, is there anybody here who has listened to the devil and who is disobeying the gospel command? If that's the case, you're a victim of the devil. He's turned you against God, and that's his chief objective. There was, back in the days of David, a man called Ahithophel. Some people say Ahithophel, but that matters little. He had been a friend of David's, but he turned against David and joined a rebellion against David. Just like the devil. The devil was created as an angel of light and he turned against God and sinned. Well, during this rebellion, Ahithophel said, listen, I have a plan by which I can destroy David. And he proposed this to the chief of the rebels, who was David's own son. And he said, and here I quote from 2 Samuel chapter 17, the verses 1 and 2, let me now choose out 12,000 men, and I will arise and pursue after David this night, and I will come upon him while he is weary and weak-handed. It's interesting that he's going to do this in darkness. and will make him afraid, and all the people that are with him shall flee, and I will smite the king only. David was to be the chief target in Ahithophel's plan. And that's how it is with the devil. The chief target is the Lord Jesus. And that's why today in the world there are those who deny the Lord Jesus. In everything he says and does. Deny his crucifixion, deny his resurrection, deny his ascension to heaven, deny his gospel. Jesus said, I am the way. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And out there in the world, the agents of the devil say, rubbish. You can go to heaven by being a Muslim. You can go to heaven by being a devout Roman Catholic. You can go to heaven by being a Sikh. You can go to heaven by being a Hindu. And all the other false religions. So you can get to heaven by any one of them. They deny the Lord Jesus. They attack him. Oh, boys and girls, beware. Have you been recruited into the devil's cause? Are you denying the Lord Jesus? Oh, you say, I wouldn't think of that. But if you haven't obeyed the gospel, you're denying the Lord Jesus. You're saying, he has no right to command me to do this. I don't have to believe in him. That's the devil's talk. Beware of it. Obey the gospel, boys and girls, for that's the only way to heaven. Let's bow in prayer. O God, our Heavenly Father, I pray you'll apply thy truth to the hearts of boys and girls and enable them to understand. Bless our school today and every one of our schools and the cause of God generally, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.